Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
There we go.
Boom. We're stung. Hollywood stinging.
Hollywood sting. Well, we're back again. Little do the fans know, we've just recorded a podcast and realized the audio is absolute dog shit. So,
yeah, Clem's mic was fucked on the podcast that we recorded 45 minutes ago. So here we are again.
Here we are.
10th week in a row, 11th podcast in a row.
Do you know what, though? What the great thing about all this is we get to taste another wine, the same one again.
True.
So at this point, we
have another glass of wine.
Let's just tell the fans we've already had one glass. A rather large glass of wine.
Of vin.
So if we start to sort of delve outside of the bounds of what we usually do, it's not due to experimentation. It's more due to external factors.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to look at it as more of a rethink as well, because, I mean, the last one did get pretty loose from time to time. So I'm going to see if I can just sort of tighten up those apexes a little bit.
No, I liked it. I like it loose.
Wheels off?
Fully off.
All right, let's take them off. Right, wine, get that up your ass. Where is it?
It's the Scavi and Ray from Lugana. So this was gifted to me by a fan there in Spa.
Okay, nice.
Because I was in that hospitality, you know. I was having my food there.
How was
there.
The hospital in Spa? Good?
Terrible.
No,
ingredients, don't buy your groceries from Belgium.
Well, I'm glad I missed that round.
But I was sitting there having my lunch there on the Friday. And I saw a sort of a wave there from the catering lady who told me, you've got a fan outside. And I said, oh, I'll happily oblige.
She said, oh, yeah, how you going?
And gave me a lovely bottle of wine. So this Lugana, which is a white wine from Italy, from Lugana.
What?
As you rightly said in the first podcast, I don't know if it's anywhere near Lugano. But it's called Lugana.
That's the thing, mate. So I wasn't really sure if I should make the same joke again.
Yeah, no, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird re-recording ourselves all of a sudden.
Tis.
But this is a £7 wine. It's eight, actually. 7.39 average price there. And this is
About 9 euros.
Solid. 2020 wine. He told me this is a cheap but good wine. Good value for money. So why don't we give it a bit of a whiff? Then see what the bouquet sort of smells like.
Yeah, let's get on the nose.
Tinge of apple.
There is a crispness. A crispness. There's a merry crispness.
Sort of citrusy. Lemon kind of. Maybe a bit of lime.
Crisp citrus. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of S's and C's going along.
And bitter almond.
Almond.
That's
almond,
the one.
Great Almond Street.
Almond.
Yeah, the almond.
One of them scorched almonds.
Quite bad for the environment, apparently.
Really?
Someone told me that. It was in the wake of our almond
release.
Milk t-shirt.
Apparently, almond milk, not good then.
No, apparently not. But I mean, it's got to be better than the cows.
Well, the cows do like to fart, and apparently that's a big problem for the environment.
Yeah,
too much
they reckon
farting.
Like cow milks, like all the vegans bang on about it. They reckon cow milk's like the worst, like they're worse than cyanide.
Well, cows, they're all fart no poo, and I think they just do a bit too much farting for the environment. But that's just me.
I wouldn't say they're no poo. I mean, having spent a little bit of time on a dairy farm in New Zealand, I can testify that there is actually quite some amount of poo.
Really?
When it comes to dairy cows, yeah.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. What do you think of the wine, mate?
Well, I've just given it a bit of a taste.
You got
there.
It on the palate, yeah.
Quite bold.
Yeah.
But round.
Striking, even?
Striking.
Yeah.
Yes. Sort of balding, I'd say.
Balding.
Rather than just pure bald.
Nice. Okay,
it's balding.
Yeah. It's got a... It's on its way to Turkey. Assuming it's got a silking, sort of smooth kind of aftertaste. I find it quite crisp on the tongue. So I've got a little bit of a fizz.
A fizz, like a bit of a...
Whoo. Bit of a fizzle, you know? A bit of a... Who am I thinking of? What rapper? Anyway. Quite a nice sort of soft aftertaste, almost like the lakes of Lugano, mate.
You know, oh, sort of soft, backbone.
Soft.
It's sort of quite soft, not too acidic. And what I really like is the dryness.
Yeah.
Not because of that nose being quite fruity. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I was expecting quite a sweet wine, but it's actually pretty dry.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like. It sort of strikes the perfect balance between nose and mouth.
With the dryness?
Sorry?
With the dryness?
With a dryness. Yeah, I thought I heard something else there.
Yeah.
What would you grade that?
I'd give it... Let me give another hone. What about you, man?
I'm going to go for a 7.32648935.2.
Okay, so vague.
Did I say 6 or 7? No, 7.6432852. That's the one.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yuri Vips would be able to tell you.
He would.
Maths genius.
Maths genius he is.
Stops at maths. And so for me, I'm going to say it's in the sevens as well. I'm going to run it a 7.65. I was going to go 7.7, but 7.65 feels more correct to me.
Oh, 77. Nice little number that. Very Bottas-y.
Very. Is it? How many more? Go on.
Nothing.
Who won the championship in 1977? Was that Lauda?
I believe it was, yes, indeed.
That's quite Vettel for me.
Fucking hell, James. Look at you being a whole racing encyclopedia.
We don't know that that's true, by the way. I mean, that's a hunch from both of us. But it feels right.
Yeah, it feels right. I think 75 was Lauda.
Hunt 76, right?
And so I think Lauda won 77.
Came back and, had everyone's pants down.
Yeah, correct,
good shit.
Correct.
Good shit. Well,
good shit, James.
R.I.P. Niki Lauda.
Well, how about we delve into some Formula 1, Formula 2, and some... IndyCar chat.
Yeah, we were going to talk some F3 as well, but actually we decided at the end of the last podcast that was pointless and we'll just talk about it next week.
Well, it's just the
championship decided.
F3 is just the championship decided this weekend. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, let's get busy.
Good times. World of Formula 1.
So Formula 1.
Did you watch the race?
No. You?
No.
Fuck. Highlights?
Sorry?
Highlights?
Sort of.
I saw some bits and pieces on social media, but...
What I saw was Lando screwed the start.
Yeah, I think everyone saw that.
Sort of a weekly occurrence these days.
You'd put the house on it, wouldn't you?
Oh, tell you what, Bet365 are making a fortune. At this point, I think a good bet would be betting on Lando Norris leading the first lap. I think the odds would look really good.
Yeah, that's what the odds are paying. But he's got to sort the clutch out.
He does have to sort the clutch out. Both McLarens really slow off the start. Max taking the lead.
Quick pretty much everywhere else, though.
That's the thing. So, managed to overtake Max on a track where it's notoriously difficult to overtake.
Did you see the overtake?
Just down the inside, regular. Yeah. Max didn't really make it hard.
Pretty
for
missionary.
Him. Yeah, no, it wasn't experimental.
Missionary overtake.
It was very, very bog standard.
Yeah.
But overall, pretty boring race, I'm not going to lie. I mean, obviously the two Ferraris there, sort of a Ferrari sandwich, I bet you wish you were Oscar Piastri in that race, sort of finishing between...
Disgusting.
Well, who wouldn't want to be between Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz?
Finishing.
Good race.
Yeah, no, I mean, having not seen it, I quite agree.
Let's face it, championship, apparently, according to the hordes of...
You've done some maths, right?
Yes.
You reckon it's uphill?
Oh, it's uphill.
How up? Like Everest or more of like a Snowden?
I think it's one of those...
If we can bring this into a mountaineering context.
I think people say Everest is the tallest mountain to climb.
Hmm. But it's not the toughest, though, is it?
No, K2 is the toughest to climb.
Yeah,
so I reckon we're looking at K2 from the southern
K2?
Face.
It's that bleak.
K2 from the southern face. Well, we know Max Verstappen. He's not really... He does like a tangle, but he doesn't like to DNF. And it's a likely occurrence that you'll be finishing on the podium at least 90% of the remaining races.
Yeah.
So Lando's going to need to win every single race with a fastest lap to be able to realistically get within an earshot of Max Verstappen in Abu Dhabi.
It's interesting you say that because it's not what I've heard, but all of the things that I see and read are the British media. So
that's the thing, though.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone at Sky has actually crunched the numbers.
The problem with Sky is, you know, it's very British.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. The problem with Sky is that it's very British.
But I think that what I'm actually more intrigued to see is the sort of change in relationship between the two.
Yeah.
I mean, was that a dig or was that not a dig?
Definitely a dig, and it's fantastic behavior.
That cool down lap, the simply lovely, huh?
See, Max is going to have some capacity for that, I reckon. I mean, he's seen it. Oh, yeah. That's cute.
Well, the thing is, you got to remember, I don't want to make comparison between the two drivers, but I think that Max Verstappen has won, you know, 61 Grand Prix.
Mm.
Lando's won two.
If
that's his way of retaliating or trying to get into his head, Max is going to be like, I've come up against the likes of Lewis Hamilton, who arguably is the greatest of all time. And all you can think of on a cool down lap
is
going
simply. Lewis
didn't
even talk any shit, really.
No, but that's the thing. It's a lot more powerful not talking shit.
Oh, 100%.
So
you've seen The Last Dance, right?
Of course.
So you know, like the guys who talk shit to Jordan, like very quickly learned that's the fucking dumbest idea that you could possibly have.
And that's what I'm kind of waiting to see.
Yeah, I agree.
And also the sort of destruction of that relationship if it turns into a championship fight. I think the number
great
of paddle
popcorn
games.
Enthusiasts.
Oh yeah, great for us. I mean, the number of paddle games between them two is definitely going to lower as we get towards the tail end of this season into next year. But for us mere mortals on the couch.
Indeed. Which is exactly what we are.
It's great watching.
Yeah, it is good. It's good TV.
I like a bit of beef.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for that shunt in Austria to happen for a long time. And I was genuinely not pleased, but intrigued at what the aftermath was going to be.
Mm.
Turned out to be pretty straightforward.
Pretty chill.
But it's number one in probably a few more.
The pan's not off the boil yet, is it?
No.
It's
not bubbled over yet.
But it's still on the hob. It's definitely still on the hob.
Formula 2, though, huge news.
Well, not much news, but big news.
Big news. One huge new.
Colapinto.
Would you call it new?
Did you say new? It's a new.
Is it a new or a news?
Is it a piece of news?
Or is it
a singular new?
That's the thing. It's a good question. Should ask Shakespeare. Good mate.
Text him.
He's not really.
He's busy, eh?
It's not really. He doesn't have an iPhone, you see. He's sort of running a Nokia.
No, okay, yeah, because he fucking ran over that pigeon he had, didn't he? Foolish man. Big news.
One new.
Whatever it may be. Franco Colapinto is a Formula One driver as of this week.
Impressive.
Yeah,
looking forward to it. I mean, Logan wasn't having a good season.
No.
What is extremely bold coming from the team is going straight to a rookie.
Straight to the junior program, yeah.
Which is nice to see.
Quite.
You like to see new faces
no,
on
I agree.
The grid.
I totally agree.
You could have had a Liam Lawson in that seat. You could have had a Mick Schumacher in that seat. You could have had a bunch of different drivers. And they've gone for a guy who's been competing in Formula 2, which
could
is
Chadwick.
Great. They could have run Chadwick.
Could have shattered the news of the world, headlines everywhere.
It would have been
Chadwick,
awesome to see Jamie in F1.
Yeah, or even spray it round. You know what I mean? Like, they've got so many juniors. Sorry, I don't want to take away from Franco Colapinto for a single moment, of course.
No, of course not.
But spray it round.
I mean, imagine. Yeah, that could be quite fun. But
it'd be like the Dale Coyne for the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah, just new drivers every weekend.
New drivers, new sponsors every weekend.
That'd be awesome.
Fucking somebody, actually. That's the dumbest idea.
I could be maybe run a weekend.
Give Valsey a ring.
Oh, yeah, old James. He's got quite a good tone of voice, though.
Jimmy V.
I actually had a meeting with him once, and I fell asleep on the call.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, you know, that voice.
He's not the most interesting bloke, either.
No, but it's just the voice. The voice is really peaceful.
Yeah, and I'd say pretty much most people would agree with you unless you're Valtteri Bottas.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Franco Colapinto in Formula One until the end of the year.
F1 driver, what a backbone.
Huge backbone. I mean, it's a great story. It's nice to see a new face in the paddock.
Nice for the Argentinian fan base too.
Huge. Well, they've lost Canapino.
Yeah, they've got some energy to put something into.
Great to see him along.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And I'll be there, obviously, for his
you
debut.
Will.
Well, I'll be in Monza.
Mm.
Seeing the action live.
Pesting around, garrying in the corner.
I will be garrying like you wouldn't believe. I'll be pesting around the paddock there.
Say good day. Yeah, if you're there. So, you know.
Just the usual, really.
Hoop and holler.
Good stuff coming from Formula 2. And then, obviously, a bit IndyCar chat.
Yeah. What did we talk about last time? I said that it was Marcus, on a Marcus front, that guy who we used to talk to.
No, we still do. We can now.
Yeah, oh yeah, we can obviously get now. The guy who used to come on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Fantastic driver. Like, I think the best performance I've seen from him.
It's not a podium, but it's definitely the most
he was
consistent.
Super consistent. Pace was better than the front runners for a good chunk of the race. Stitched up a little bit in the first pit stop. That's why he wasn't in that sort of front pack for the rest of the race, but just kept his head down. Zero mistakes. Calm on the radio. Decent. Very, very, very solid.
Oh, you love to see it. You love
so
to
if
see
we can,
it.
Yeah, if that can be the new norm, and then exceptional races can be the podiums and the wins, then that's great. We're in a good spot.
Indeed.
So there's some genuine behind the curtains analysis from us there.
What about obviously we delved into a lot of the hot topics coming off that oval last week.
We did, yeah. So we touched on this unreleased podcast that the hate cauldron was busted out before the race, which is a feature that IndyCar is now bringing out, which is it's an interesting back step from putting out messages on social media of anti-hate and hate speech, and then to have a feature in the build-up of a race called the Hate Cauldron.
Yeah, indeed. And nonetheless, obviously the two drivers who were most involved in that restart being Newgarden and Power being the retirement there.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, sort of middle fingers thrown at each other, the sort of the classic Will Power sort of interview post-race antics.
Oh, 100%.
Of just...
Just one hot bunny.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sort of shouting there at poor old Dave Malukas, who had absolutely nothing to do with the shunt. But all well is good one day later.
Yeah.
Because once the helmet comes off and the discussions start, everybody realizes it's just a race.
Yeah. Is it wake surfing on Monday? So
wake surfing on Monday. Drop
I love
the mixtape.
Have you ever been wake surfing?
Do you know what? I've always wanted to give it a go. I've always been good on a board, but terrible with a kite.
Good on Lake Annecy around your neck of the woods. There's some great wake surfing action going on there.
Very much so. But, you know, the problem is I'm a bit more of a snowboarder. I haven't really got quite the feel of holding on a rope. You know,
I thought you'd be more of a skiing man being Swiss-French. And
I know, massive skier. Mm. Huge skier.
Big skier. Big old skier.
As you've probably heard, you know, around about the time, sort of the late 80s, late 70s, early 80s, around about the time where the Winter Olympics sort of came along, I was a synchronized skier.
A synchronized skier.
Yeah, so it's not on the sort of...
It's not in the pool.
It's not the... how do you call it? It's not one of the current events anymore.
No.
But I was a double Olympic champion. It's not really synchronized skiing. It's more like a beauty skiing, you know, when they sort of go down the slopes and you're doing your twists.
Ski
and
style.
Sort exactly.
Of ballet on the slope,
exactly.
If you will. Do you run a pole for that?
I was running two poles.
Okay, so how big's your pole?
Huge.
A bend?
Slight.
Slight bend, just for sort of, you know, at agility.
That's the one.
I see what you mean. Oh, interesting stuff, mate. How do we get here?
I don't know. Kind of lost the plot there.
Snowboarding.
Wake surfing.
Willpower went wake surfing with Jason Newgun.
That's the one.
And, okay, so it's been... Right. Let's see if we can find some traction here. Yeah, I mean, so everyone's chill.
Everyone's fine.
As we touched on, you know, after, you know, Melbourne, when you run into your mates, you just have a beer and you're good.
You explain
explain it from my side, explain it from your side.
And then everybody just has a couple of beersies and we all realise we're all the same.
What are we going to do? Uncrash the car? Fuck it. Let's just move on.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's insurance for that shit.
That's what we're here for. No, moving on. Should we get into...
Should we jump into the crisis and see if we can actually solve it? Because we did a fucking shit job of it last time.
No, it was great. It was great. We've got the sting going.
Yeah, nice.
It's gone.
Are we that? Okay, right.
Crisis room.
Should I actually...
Get your crisis going. Yeah. So we're a little bit disorganized because this is our second time recording.
Crisis going. Okay.
What is amazing from this, though, is that we're just about to tick over the 20-minute mark and we have talked absolute nonsense for now... 40 minutes.
It's almost like the consistency of lap time that kind of surprises me sometimes. We're pretty onto it with the time. It usually takes us 10 minutes per section, give or take.
Roughly, touch and go.
Should we stop giving ourselves verbal hand jobs and get into this crisis?
We shall.
Olive oil crisis. Spanish farmers accuse supermarkets of inflating prices amid production shortages. I mean, you do that, don't, amongst production shortages, you increase the price to...
Well, that's kind of supply and demand there. It's very basic economics. They call it
finding a market equilibrium as well.
That is true.
Yeah. Spanish olive oil producers say big supermarkets are making huge profits at the expense of consumers. Well, that's the point of a supermarket, is to make a profit at the expense of the consumer. Who else would they make a profit out of?
Don't know.
Expensive consumers by making a 59% margin over the initial
59
price. Yeah.
Bloody hell. Getting ripped off.
59% margin. I mean,
that's huge.
It's up. It's big.
That's large. But then again, you got to think of the overhead costs.
So the catalyst for it. So heat waves and drought have been crippling the olive oil production in recent years. So it's been gradual.
What kind of olive oil do you run?
I try to go extra virgin, but I'm not that married to it. If I can just have a standard virgin, I'm happy to be married to a standard virgin, to be perfectly honest, yeah.
I do love myself an extra virgin.
Yeah, I mean, it's always worth having like a virgin or two in the cupboard just in case, but yeah, usually I'll be running an extra.
I'm going extra virgin for the old meats.
Extra virgin?
Yeah, yeah. Big time.
Extra virgin on your meat.
Yeah.
Interesting. But have you got any virgins in the cupboard?
You quite like running the butter, though.
I'm a butter man. I'm a butterman. If it comes to for your steak cooking, so I'll hiff your butter in there with some freshly chopped garlic, with some, you know, rosemary sprigs and etc. Sort of get that all kind of going before the steak even comes to the party. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Salt that bitch as well before it goes in.
Oh, you got to salt it.
Slap that on your meat. And so what they're saying, so there's 59% increase in prices, but that's over the last few years.
Oh, a few years.
Yeah. So the world's largest olive oil producer expects production to drop by 50% this year. That actually is pretty... So, well, hang on then. Hang about. If the production's dropping by 50%,
the price should go up
100%. Because it's 100% decrease in production, really. If it drops by 50%, it's 100% decrease.
Surely, yeah, I agree. But then the farmers should also be charging more.
100%, yeah.
So, no, they should be asking for more.
Yeah.
Because there's less.
Well, are they running a sort of Spanish olive oil farmers union? I can't imagine.
Oh, we should. See, that's the thing, though. As soon as you mentioned this crisis...
This is much better from us. We were way off. But here, we're on the road to establishing a Spanish olive farmer union.
Massively.
Spanish olive farmers. SOFU.
SOFU. Sorry? Spanish Olive Farmers Union. Yeah, SOFU. Yeah, big time. Now, this is my take on this. You want to go full French, you create the SOFU, and then you go in the street, you park your tractors on the motorways,
yeah,
massive havoc, full strike.
That is where you would go.
Take a page out of my book.
I don't disagree with you. I honestly don't. I'd love to hear what Clarkson thinks about it, but...
to be honest,
I haven't got his number.
You've got to do what the French did. They went one step further. They didn't just park their trucks on the motorway.
They put soil on the motorway.
They didn't put soil. They put manure.
They started farming on the motorway.
They started farming on the motorway and dropped manure on loads of government buildings in and around the country.
Nice. I endorse that kind of behavior. Actually, no, I don't endorse that kind of behavior publicly.
Smells of poos everywhere.
Well, that's what manure is.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I do like my extra olive virgin oil.
Yeah, your extra olive virgin oil?
Yeah, extra virgin olive oil.
That might
oil.
Be in your bedroom cabinet as opposed to your...
Sorry, yeah, got that the wrong way around. But it's a cost of living crisis as well, you know. They're being hit at rough times. That's the problem. I think the problem with the farmers is the rising costs.
Yeah, I think so. And the droughts and the environment.
Of course.
Kind of carry on. But I mean, look, if the production drops by 50%, pump up your prices by 100%. Bottom line.
Indeed. And on top of that, pump it up by whatever.
Okay, so I think maybe some education. So if we look at establishing the SOFU,
yeah.
I think it's twofold. One, we need to initiate some kind of strike. Two, I think we probably need to get some kind of business educators to sort of get these guys sort of more... Just sharpen up their business acumen a little bit.
I think it's running the business. The guy who's got to be running SOFU has got to be some major power broker.
And look, that's no criticism. If you're a Spanish olive farmer, that's all your family's been doing for years and years and years. You're not ready for this kind of, you know, corporate hospital, you know, corporate, how do you say in English? Espionage. You're not equipped for that kind of stuff, and no one's taught you that. So maybe within SOFU, we can have our sort of educational department, you know, for farmers to go along, get a bit more business acumen. We obviously unionize everything so that then things like strikes do carry some kind of weight. And
yeah, if they strike, there's no more olives coming out of Spain.
I know that we're not helping the consumer here, right? We're only talking about spiking prices.
We want to fuck the middleman.
Yeah. Do we? We want to fuck Oscar Piastri.
Why?
He was in the middle of the Ferraris that you were talking about earlier.
No.
You cross-pollinating topics.
You are.
Sorry. Okay.
We want to destroy the supermarket sort of supremacy that there's going on at
right,
the moment.
Right, gotcha.
So we want to be able to turn around, go on strike, say no more olives. I'm a big fan of olives. I like my olive in a vodka martini. If I can't have my olive anymore,
quite right.
I ain't going to have my vodka martini.
In tough times, you wouldn't switch to a lemon rind?
No, because then at that point, I ain't going to go to the bar to get my vodka martini. So the bar's going to feel it too. Everyone is going to feel it. Olives are literally like bees. They're at the center of the world.
Okay, so I'm not sure what your point is.
If you go on strike, it hurts everyone. So everybody will then pay more for your olives.
But is that a solution, or are we putting that in the win category?
I think that's a win.
For the farmers, yes, I agree.
Oh, well, we're trying to help the farmers here.
All right, well, okay, yeah.
Unless you want to help the consumers too, what we've got to do is take out the supermarkets and just go buy to your local.
So I think it's twofold. So I think it's I'd say that we need to establish some kind of 5-year plan. So it'll be a twofold, you'd have an initial spike in the price of the olives, sure.
Yeah.
Then you've got to sort of, you know, new distribution methods. I'm thinking backbone farmers market.
Yep.
You know, get down to your farmer's market, get down to your backbone. You know, we can kind of brand it. We could almost run like an Uber model on it.
Oh,
you know?
For sure.
And then just pop up locations around the country. It'd be a website. And then we have backbone farmer's market. Up they go. Messages go out to local farms nearby. And then we have our outreach and we get along to, you know, we'll obviously have to grow the Screaming Meals network, but it can't be that hard, can it? Tell your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends.
And then, boom, we've changed the farming industry in England with a single app, with Backbone Farmers Market, and on the Uber business model.
There is only one problem with that idea.
Oh, fuck, they're in the wrong country, aren't they?
Yeah, it's in Spain, brother. It's not in England. But
still.
I'm pretty sure if we just find out what Backbone is in Spanish, we can run that.
Get Alonso to promote it.
Yeah. Oh, Fernando.
We actually do have his number.
I actually do have his number. Yes, indeed. Yeah. But no, I think we've sold that.
That's pretty good crisis control from us. What the fuck did we end up with on the last one?
The fact that you really, really, really enjoyed steak.
I think there was a taxation system involved. We were going to say something about avocado oil and goose fat.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Now, we went way off on the last one.
Yeah, but we could lean back on that. Look, if SOFU doesn't happen, we could go with the meat lubrication tax brackets again.
Indeed, because you want your meat to be well lubricated.
Yeah, but you also don't want to be, you know, breaking the bank every time you're lubing up your meat. You know what I mean?
That's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, so...
And by meat, you mean steaks. Steaks. Yeah.
So I think that's a successful crisis control. That's a success... Just pause for effect there. That's a successful Clem's Wine Corner, as well as a crisis control. We've done some motorsport news. We've...
looked at some wine.
Mate, yeah.
We've drank some wine. And
is there anything left to do? We'll know who the F3 champion is next week, so look forward to that. I'm probably going to stream.
I'll be there live.
Yeah, I'm going to do some streaming this weekend.
Giving you some insights there.
Are you, or are you just going to be on the Steam?
I'm going to be pesting.
Networking. Garrying in the corner.
Garrying in the corner.
Good stuff, mate. Well, hey, have a great week, you folks. And
cheers, you backbones.
See you soon.